Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning!
Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Let's go, Oakland. Hell yeah. I'm talking about. It's the pregame show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm your host, Joe Spadoni. We got an hour. We got an awesome night in baseball. Awesome night in Bay Area baseball. A's win. Giants win. Giants with a couple injuries. But with those injuries, may come a rising star. We'll talk about that a little later. We'll talk about what's going on around the NFL a little bit later. Stephon Diggs not happy. Running backs around the league not happy. Is that a position that's getting phased out? We'll break all that down. But we're going to start with what took place last night at Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. And it was something special. Listen, I'm a romantic, if you will, when it comes to the game of sports. I love those kind of movies, Moneyball. When you hear that soundtrack, it does something to me. Gives me a little, I'm starting to tingle. Shout out Guru. Want to have a catch, Dad? Stuff like that. Field of Dreams. It does something to me. So, when I saw what was taking place last night, and for those of you who are not aware and are just joining us and just hearing about it for the first time, there was a reverse boycott with the A's last night, taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, best team in baseball, against the worst team in baseball. And the fans, fan organized, were able to get 27,000 people on a Tuesday night for an 18-win team against the Tampa Bay Rays. I know a lot of people are like, they didn't even sell out. I'm counting that as a sellout on a Tuesday night, June 14th, one of the worst teams historically of all time, going up against the tiniest of tiny markets. Yeah, they're a great team, the Tampa Bay Rays, but you're not drawing fans to that place. Pretty confident if it was against a team like the Dodgers or something like that, they may have just well had an actual sellout, but 27,000. Good on ya. Everyone rocking this shirt that I'm wearing right now that you can see on Twitch, on YouTube. Go ahead, search 95.7 The Game. Like, subscribe, and you're going to want to be on Twitch and YouTube today. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we have a contest going on, folks. That's right. There is a contest happening. So, throughout the shows today, not this one, because we are the appetizer to the main course. We understand our role. We're the opener, if we're using this analogy. We're the Shintaro Fujinami of this station, of this show. We'll give up a hit. We'll get a strikeout. We throw gas at times. But starting today, with the Morning Roast, Steiny Goo, Willard Dibbs, all three of those shows, we are giving you and a guest a chance to go to Chase Center and attend the Warriors introductory press conference with the player they draft. We'll be showing you a keyword on YouTube and Twitch at certain points of the show, and you will qualify by texting those words to our short code. Get to YouTube and Twitch now and watch for the keyword for your chance to win. So that's going to be for the Morning Roast, Steiny Goo, Willard, and Dibbs. Not the pregame show. Maybe, just maybe, though, I'm going to hit up Matt. We're going to have a contest just for the pregame show for those diehards He's probably expediting. We're not going to maximize it. That's fine. Just give us tickets to like a museum or something. Give us some merch. It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be the Warriors introductory presser. Just come on. Throw our pre-gamers a bone here. They deserve it. 888-957-9570. That's the number if you would like to get involved in the show today. It's going to be a lot of baseball. And what went down at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum yesterday? What was it now? Ring Central? But there was a beautiful sadness to what took place last night. What is it? Shakespeare? Parting is such sweet sorrow? That's kind of what it felt like with the A's yesterday. Of what is taking on in Las Vegas? What's going down there? I guess the Senate committee is okaying the public funding portion of the bill for the A's. $380 million from Nevada. And it looks like that's all just a formality at this point if it gets pushed through. Shovel's not in the dirt. Still a glimmer of hope. Like the rebellion taking on the empire. Still a little bit of hope there, but it's dwindling. It's fading. But for one night, A's fans came together in unison and did something extraordinary. I'm going to start off with what took place at the top of the fifth inning after a double from the Rays. And it was pretty damn cool. And Vince Catronio and Dallas Braden did a hell of a job on NBC Sports Bay Area. And here's how it sounded at the top of the fifth with the A's and the Rays at the Coliseum last night.
A swing and a fair ball inside the third baseline. And Siri's going to turn and make his way to second. And he has notions about third. He'll put the brakes on as Seth gets it back in. Crowd goes silent and now getting very loud at the Coliseum. Taylor Walls would now stand in for Tampa Bay. Rays trying to open the scoring and Hogan can't hear with the pitch calm because of the crowd, and now time has called. Things have gotten loud here, and this is certainly a new experience in 2023 at the Coliseum.
Vince Catronio on the call there again, NBC Sports California, top of the fifth. There were chants all night, and you heard it blasting on TV. You saw it on social. It was a party, and it was the fans coming together and saying, you know what, John Fisher? It's not us. It's you, man. Invest in the team and we'll come. And you never did that. You never invested in this team, in this city, in this building. You didn't care. You haven't cared. But the fans that showed up last night, they did. And for one night, at least this season, for the worst team in baseball, for a team that's probably on the move, none of that mattered. And here's how the game actually went, starting with this guy, Brent Rooker, who's been a hell of a story, tying the game up in the seventh.
That is a fair ball. It's in the corner. Peterson to third. He's going to be waved home. And he will score. Tie game. RBI double Brent Rooker.
RBI double Brent Rooker there. So they tie the game at one apiece. And then Carlos Perez in the eighth.
That's off the glove, and the A's will take the lead. Just enough from Carlos Perez. Breaks home Laureano, and it's 2-1 Oakland.
It's 2-1 there, and then to try to close it out, you got this play from the young stud behind the plate, Shea Langeliers, thrown out. Not just anyone, Randy Rosarena.
Whoever goes, the throw by Shea, the tag! Got him! What a tag! On the short hop grab by Peterson, and he puts it down.
And finally, Trevor May to close it out.
Swing and a miss, he got him! And the A's have won 7 in a row! Celebration on the field! Ovation on the speakers. And the A's have won back-to-back games against Tampa Bay. Longest winning streak since August of 21.
Seven in a row for your Oakland Athletics. They get the job done against the best team in baseball in Tampa. And it is interesting how these two teams kind of have a history, right? They're joined at the hip, if you will, Tampa and Oakland. Both not the greatest of stadiums, both not with the highest of payrolls, but both in the last 20 years have had this money ball mentality that's gotten them to the highest of highs, especially for Tampa. Hell, they've actually been to a couple of World Series. It's worked for them. Their method has worked more than the A's. The A's started it with Billy Beane. He was the architect of it all. Obviously, if you've seen the movie Moneyball, you're familiar with all of that. If you've just grown up in this area, his imprint on the game will last forever. But you're seeing teams like Tampa taking that formula and putting it to 1,000. They're executing it in a way that no one has ever seen. And they're actually starting to pay some of their studs, something that Oakland has never done. And who are we kidding? Probably will never do. We're saying that a lot in the Nevada legislature meetings and all that sort of stuff. Oh, we'll spend when we move to Vegas. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll see, Johnny and Dave. Not holding my breath for that one. If you're a Vegas A's fan, 888-957-9570. Good morning to all of you who are chiming in via Twitch and YouTube. El Guero, Nicole, Dublin Marge, Luis Robertson, EJ, Edgar Cervantes, Curry 900. All of you guys chiming in as you do each and every day. I appreciate you. You are the straw that stirs this station's drink. You are hitting me up at an ungodly hour if you're just getting off work, getting ready for work. Hell, you could be on the East Coast, but I still appreciate you chiming in this early. It really does warm my heart. Apparently, we have this new feature on the YouTube chat. This like button is just cray-cray. You got 100, 100, 100. You got heart, heart, heart. It's this live stream thing. Look at that. Shout out technology, am I right? El Guero on the chat. Good morning, Spadoni. John Fisher is counting those 27,000 fans' money right now. No, he's not. I think that was all going to charity last night, if I'm not mistaken. So, shout out all the A's and the A's fans involved putting that together, raising all that money for the Oakland Food Bank, all that charity. Shout out Oaklandish for the shirts. Again, if you're streaming on Twitch and YouTube or you're not, get on there. Like, subscribe, all that jazz. Rocking the Cell shirt. Shout out Sam Lubman, producer extraordinaire for Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. Also host of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys and producer of The Morning Roast. He was there last night covering the game for the station. He is now an Oakland resident. Big Giants fan. Where's that on his sleeve? But you know what? For last night, for one night, he was an Oakland fan. And he felt that atmosphere. And he was nice enough to give me this shirt. So thank you, Sam. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem.
So how was it last night, man? The atmosphere, the everything. Like, it felt through the TV, it was more than 27,000. Obviously, it wasn't. But it felt like it was a playoff-type atmosphere. And you heard that from Mark Kotze. You heard that from Hogan Harris. It was pretty freaking cool.
No, playoff atmosphere thing is a great way to describe it. It was charged there last night. It was very emotionally charged. There was a lot of good emotions, a lot of happy emotions, a lot of positive emotions, but a lot of frustration, too. There's a lot of anger, you could tell, with A's fans. But it was for one night. Yeah, the A's fans, like, they really turned up. They showed what they're about. And, like, I mean, I... Obviously, it's bad right now with the A's. But, like, I remember going to games, you know, way back, you know, like in high school when the A's were a lot more entertaining or relevant. I remember going, you know, 2012 to 2014. That was a lit atmosphere. Even just a couple of years ago in 18 and 19, when A's fans turn up, they turn up big. They make big noise. And last night, walking through that parking lot, how jam-packed it was. Going into that concourse, the Coliseum, it was just, you're bunched up with everybody going around, seeing that crowd there. It was really special last night. It really was. And for the first time in my life, Spadoni, I wore an A's hat to a baseball game.
That's breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
This is big. Like, that's how big it was. That's how into it I got. And
what color did we get? What was the color?
It was one of the giveaway hats they gave away last year.
Was it a Kelly Green one?
No, it was the Mexican Heritage.
Ooh, very cool. Those ones are cool. I like the Heritage Month hats. Those ones are always cool. They got the flag on the side.
But yeah, it was truly a special night for A's fans. They all of them were having fun. It was just a great night. And you look around the Coliseum, I just remember thinking, I see all that green there. It's just like, why can't it always be like this?
Seriously, no.
Why can't it?
It's a good point. Why can't it? Because, you know, John Fisher doesn't want to invest in the team. And the fans, that's why they showed up last night, to say, you know what? We will come out and support this team if we're motivated to. But you know what? When you have all these attempts to leave and not invest in the team or the city, why should we? So I get it. Hey, I get it. But shout out to everyone involved last night. It was an awesome, awesome atmosphere. You can feel it. And man, the beautiful sadness. That's just what I'm dubbing it. It was a beautiful sadness going on last night. Shakespearean-esque, bittersweet. And Mark Kotze, manager of the Oakland Athletics. And my God, Mark Kotze, God bless him. Talk about getting dealt a losing hand if you're an A's fan. Talk about Mark Kotze. Here, Mark. Keep trotting these guys out with 11 ERAs. Have fun. With all these AAA, 4A type players, if you will. Have fun with that. We're not going to give you an Olsen or a Chapman. Hey, you can have a Laureano, sure. Hey, you can have a Tony Kemp, sure. What he has had to deal with this team, with this move, he has handled it tremendously well. He's never wavered. It's always there. Never surly after the game with the media. Always takes his time. He's very well spoken. And I just want to give my hat off to Mark Kotze during this 7-game win streak. He's got this team believing and fighting. And that's very emblematic of what the fans did last night. So I love that. Shout out Mark Kotze. Here he is talking about the atmosphere and the win as the A's take out the best team in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays, 2-1. Here's Mark Kotze.
It was pretty loud out there all night. How do you think your players just kind of responded to the atmosphere tonight?
You know, I thought these guys kept their poise. They used the energy, you know, and I think, you know, I made the comment that tonight was as close to a playoff crowd as I think I've experienced managing a game, and the energy, the atmosphere was, you know, everything that the stadium can be. And, you know, for that to happen tonight, for us to go out and play a good game, all around, to execute, to pitch, to play defense, and do the fundamentals of the game that we talk about and take care of the details in front of that crowd, you know, I couldn't be happier.
You mentioned kind of like a playoff atmosphere, but obviously there's some excitement, also some anger mixed in that crowd. Was that sort of a unique atmosphere? Have you ever experienced something like that before?
Well, I've experienced anger in a crowd, definitely. mostly at me when I was playing. You know, I don't know. It was a unique night, you know, but again, we talked a lot about it. You know, if you want to use the word anger, it wasn't directed at the players, and we felt the energy on their fan side supporting us, you know, passionately with the, you know, you could feel them just wanting us to win that game. And their will, I think, came across with our guys, and just the electricity you felt when we scored that run in the eighth and went back out to take the field in the ninth.
In the top of the fifth, there was a silent protest for the first batter, and then the crowd erupted in chants. Could you guys, how did that feel on the field?
You know, it was different. They weren't able to do it completely, though, because you did hear some voices. So, and then the double down the line in the complete silence, you know, was a little eerie. It was well orchestrated and I guess perfectly timed on their end. And, you know, we were, as a group, you know, you can't help but notice. So, but again, when they turned it back on. Hogan couldn't hear his pitch calm, but that was about the gist of it.
Mark Kotze, manager of your Oakland Athletics there after the game. And here is what he was referring to the top of the fifth after a double from the Rays. It a great, great, great chant.
He's swinging a fair ball inside the third base line, and Siri's going to turn and make his way to second, and he has notions about third. He'll put the brakes on as Seth gets it back in. You heard the crowd go silent, and now getting very loud at the Coliseum. Would now stand in for Tampa Bay. Rays try to open the scoring, and Hogan can't hear with the pitch calm because of the crowd. And now time is called. Things have gotten loud here, and this is certainly a new experience in 2023 at the Coliseum.
And here's not technically the starting pitcher, but the middle relief pitcher, if you will, Hogan Harris. Shintaro Fujinami got the opener job yesterday, pitching an inning, and then Hogan Harris went seven strong, four hits, one earned run, two strikeouts. And here's Harris talking about that crowd being so loud he couldn't even hear his pitch calm.
Hogan, let's first start with the electricity of tonight. What did it feel like? Well, feeling the sensation of the fans and enjoying this night.
I tell you what, words really can't describe it at all. Obviously, they got wildly loud at one point. I couldn't even hear my pitch calm. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, hey, I'm going to be honest, Blue. I can hear it. It's on, but I just can't hear it. He goes, you have a backup plan. I was like, no, but we're going to have to figure something out really quick, aren't we?
Well, Lefty, let me tell you, the backup plan worked to perfection because all you had planned was slicing and dicing. Seven strong, one run. Talk about putting this offense, this Tampa offense, that is stout. They're long. They got a great lineup.
Oh, yeah.
But you had an answer for each and every one of them tonight, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. One thing I learned, especially from, obviously, as we know, the first one, was if you throw strikes, you know, getting ahead puts a hitter in a lot more pressure than it puts in you. So once I kind of understood that, I've just been carrying that on the best I can.
Hogan Harris there. Oakland A's get the job done. 2-1 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. They've won seven in a row now. Hottest team in baseball. They're creeping up on the Kansas City Royals. I believe only a game back now in the loss column. Man, can you imagine not just one team but two teams potentially having the two worst records in the history of baseball happens in the same year? Could happen with Kansas City and Oakland, but you know what? For one night, if it's just the one night all year long, the A's didn't feel like the worst team in the league. No. Felt like the best team. With the best atmosphere. Not the best stadium. No. Not the best players. But there was an atmosphere last night that was palpable, and you can feel it through the TV. There was something special that was happening. And 888-957-9570. I want to hear from you, the fans, who attended. Did you watch it? Did you feel what I felt? A beautiful sadness, a sweet sorrow, a Shakespearean feeling, if you will, what took place last night in Oakland and what's taken place in Las Vegas. Obviously, they're getting that funding passed. It looks like down Nevada with that $380 million in public funding for a new stadium for John Fisher's A's. But the overarching sentiment last night, sell. And you see it on my shirt if you're on Twitch and YouTube. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll continue to take your calls and texts as it pertains to the A's taking out the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll continue to talk about what's going on in baseball at large. The Giants get it done again. Cobb, the W. The Cardinals, my God, they're done. St. Louis Cardinals this early. I don't remember the last time I could say the Cardinals are done, but June 14th, I'm calling it. They're done. Goldschmidt, Arenado. I don't think they're the problems. That pitching staff just isn't good. We were talking about it yesterday on the Morning Roast. If the Giants do end up going forward here and getting a starting pitcher at the deadline, they ain't looking.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking at there ain't looking at St. Louis, that's for damn sure. Michaelis, Flaherty, Montgomery, eh. Not looking good. You know what else is not looking good? That Mitch Haniger contract, because unfortunately Mitch Haniger, adding insult to injury there, breaking his forearm. He's going to be placed on the IL. We'll see how long he's out, potentially out all year. And then J.D. Davis, sprained ankle. But with that comes opportunity for others. Injuries for some, opportunities for others, and some young guys. David Villar, Luis Matos, come on up. The young stud, the rising star in the organization, the hottest guy in AAA, is going to make his debut. Whether that's against the Cardinals, whether that's against the Dodgers, it's going to happen. And it's going to be exciting. You got Schmidt. You got Bailey, you got Doval, you got Estrada, all these guys balling. Yeah, Schmidt's tapered off a little bit. Chase rate's up, we get that. But overall, the youth movement is in full effect. And can they add to it? And what would adding it with a Luis Matos mean going forward for this franchise if he ends up being that dude that we've seen from Bailey, from Estrada, from Doval, from Schmidt early on? What would that mean for this team moving forward? We'll discuss that on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you would like to get involved, Twitch and YouTube, like, subscribe, search 95.7 The Game, all of that. And be sure to download that Odyssey app, favorite 95.7 The Game. This is the pregame show. Joe Spadoni, come on back. More baseball talk on the other side. 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, pregame show. Joe Spadoni, 95.7 The Game. Oh, such a banger. This is old Wiz. Say yeah. Show that money. You know what I'm saying yeah to? Shout out Wiz Khalifa. The A's fans last night. And hell, even if you weren't a fan of the A's and you ended up going in support anyways, shout out you. Shout out the Giants fans that showed out last night. Sam being one of them. You know, it's easy for a lot of people to kick someone when they're down. And the A's, for most of my life, have kind of been down. Sure, they've had some runs here and there. They've had maybe a couple years where they're legit World Series type of teams. But for the most part, it's been kind of hard being an A's fan. Let's just put it bluntly. In my lifetime, my first real love of the team probably started in 2012. Those early 2000s, like first iteration of Moneyball, for me, not as popular, not as, how should I say this? Doesn't hold as strong place in my heart as that 2012, 13, 14, those kind of squads did. I was 8. My love of the game was still kind of growing. Not super fan. I was a fan. Went to a few games here and there, but grown up down on the Monterey Peninsula, had other stuff to do. Had other stuff in my mind. 8, 9, 10 years old, playing Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever. Then, getting to high school, started getting more and more into sports because went to a new school, new friend group. What's some commonalities? Oh, you guys like sports? I like sports too. So let's get into it. And that's kind of how my love for sports grew through high school. Shout out Palma High School in Salinas. Mark Fahler, if you're on the YouTube chat, what up? But that's where my love of the game started to grow. And then obviously I graduate, and that 2012 team happens. And that was special. Reddick, Donaldson, Balfour Rage. It was a vibe. And I felt a taste of that, potentially maybe for the last time in Oakland. I felt that last night. And it was pretty freaking awesome, man. So 888-957-9570. If you were there, I want to hear from you. Call in, text. Again, the number 888-957-9570. You are always welcome. And man, I just need to hit it. That's seven in a row. Come on. Celebrate. Cool in the gang. I don't think they're taking this to Vegas. It better not. This one stays here. This song. It's just a banger, too. You play this at any wedding, any party, it's going down. What else is going down? I see Joe Shasky has the doors creeped open here in the studio. No, you're good. He was signaling my bad. I just see him playing with his ball and glove. He's juiced up. He's feeling it. It's June 14th. It's baseball season, folks. Giants, 5-game road winning streak. A's, 7-game winning streak. I know they're on two different paths, two different wavelengths. But you know what? If last night we got 27,000, I'm expecting whenever that Bay Bridge series starts, the Battle of the Bay, whatever you want to call it. I think the Battle of the Bay is the Raiders. It doesn't matter. Whenever that series starts, I'm expecting both the Coliseum and Oracle to be packed. Giants fans, A's fans, this could be the last time. It's starting to get to me, man. Starting to feel a little emotional about it. It sucks. Beautiful sadness. Sweet sorrow. That's what I keep coming back to. That's the emotions I was feeling last night. How are you feeling? Was it anger? You have a right to be angry if you're an A's fan. What's going on with the team sucks. There's a lot of different emotions last night. Sadness, happiness, joy, anger, jealousy. Hell, you look at Tampa, the team you're playing, hottest team in baseball, team that's been to two World Series using your methods, using the Moneyball method better than you. Let's be honest, they have. They've been to two World Series. They've been successful. They're signing their guys long-term. They're staying, it looks like, in Florida. Although they just flirted with, what was it? They were flirting with potentially playing half their games in Florida and then Montreal or something ridiculous. Remember that idea being floated out there? But it looks like they're staying. I'm jealous. They paid their guy Wander Franco. They're paying some of these young guys. We can't? In this market? Not when you have this guy, John Fisher, owning the team, I guess. And shout out Oaklandish for printing all these shirts. And if you haven't seen it, rocking it right now on Twitch, on YouTube. Search 95.7 The Game. Like, subscribe. You'll see the shirt. Shout out Sam Lubman for attending and grabbing it for me. Couldn't make it yesterday. You can say, Spadoni, you're a horrible A's fan. You're gassing up this whole thing like you were there. I wasn't. Father of two. And I can assure you, if this was on like a Friday night instead of a Tuesday night, there probably would have been a sellout because a lot of families with kids, a wife, significant other, husband, boyfriend, whatever, they would have came. But a Tuesday, it's tough, man. We had swimming lessons. I had to cook dinner. Nap time. Got to do the flashcards before bed. Got the Frozen 2 flashcards. Shout out Elsa. Shout out Anna. Let it go. Into the unknown. Benny's crushing it. Gets a little tripped up on the W's versus U's and the V's. They all kind of look similar how the font is. He's crushing it, though. Knows how to spell his own name. We're getting there. God, he's turning 4 in a few months. It's scary how big these kids get, man. The old cliche of when you're like a parent, when your parents are saying that to you when you're 5, 6, 7 all the way through. Why are you getting so big? Why are you getting so old? You got to stay little. It's real, man. And there was a part of me that hit me watching that game last night on TV, and Benny was watching it too, and he was getting excited, and he does what Shasky's doing right now. He gets his glove out, he gets the ball out, gets the bat. Daddy, let's play. Let's go Oakland. He does the chants. It's cute. He does a little, whenever the Giants are playing too, because we watch a lot of Giants games, he does a little, let's go San Francisco. I was like, I think they do let's go Giants. But the way he does it is so cute. I was like, you know what? We can do that one. Shasky likes it. It's cute. A little 3.5-year-old. Let's go San Francisco. I was like, I don't know if that'll play in the crowd, but you know what? You do you, buddy. You do you. And you know what? If he ends up being a Giants fan, which is a big possibility because the A's probably won't be here. And he's grown up. He wants to be a fan of some team. I'll try to have that maybe be the Vegas A's. Probably not. It's just not going to be there. It's not going to be the same. I'll probably still be a fan of the team, but it won't be the same. I'm not going to force that kid to watch it. And it's easier to be a fan of the Raiders for me because I'm a Raider A's fan. It was easier to follow the Raiders to Vegas because they had left already. They have roots down in Los Angeles already. And you can say, oh, Spinone, well, the A's, they were the Philadelphia A's, they're the Kansas City A's. I was like, yeah, but they're for 50-plus years, man. That's the longest of any of those stops. Raiders, 17 games out of the year, I could handle that. 162? Man. I hardly watch as it is on TV. It's just tough watching a game these days. Although, they're making a lot more palatable with the pitch clock. The two-hour games have been great. It's going to be tough to try to follow that team to Vegas. I don't begrudge anyone if they do. You fan how you fan. Steiny and Guru having a great conversation about being a fan yesterday. And if you follow the team, how you fan, how you root for a team, it was very fascinating. Be sure to download the Odyssey app, watch on Twitch and YouTube. You can find that segment there, but it was interesting. And then Steiny and Guru were calling me out how I fan, right? And it was funny. Guru and I fan very similar. We hate watch our teams, but we do it as a protection, right? Oh, we're done. Well, we say that because we don't want to get our hopes up. And Guru, being a Pirates fan, being a Cowboys fan, he understands about his dreams getting crushed. And I do too. A's, Raiders. There's been a lot of good Lakers stuff. Not to mention what happened last month. Lonnie Walker IV. But ultimately, they didn't win it. That's what the Lakers should be about. So I'm not going to root for Western Conference semi-wins. Well, that one tasted a little bit sweeter, I'm not going to lie. Just kidding, Warriors fans. You guys still haven't let me out of that one. Still crushing me occasionally. Whenever I come down the Warriors road, oh, it's because you're a Laker fan. No, it's not. Very objective. I thought I was very objective throughout that whole series, if being honest. Could have been insufferable. I just wore the jersey, and I think that was enough for some people to go off the rails. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're up against it. We got to take a quick break. Come on back. Joe Shasky's going to join me for the Crossover, where we just dissect the Giants, the A's, and anything else that may come up right here on 95.7 The Game. Heated. It's getting a little heated in the back right there. Well, it's also just hot all the time here in the studio and in the producer's studio. It's way too hot in here. We're starting to move soon. We've even taken out all the signed jerseys we have all across the place. Tim Jordan doing a hell of a job. Everyone with
feels
engineering.
Feels like the repo man's coming to take all our crud.
I was like, great. Can you like take us out here too now and actually get like an air conditioning unit?
Feel me?
That'd be great.
By the way, I'm not trying to joke when I say this. It's hot in here. That little studio.
It's awful.
You know what we should call it? The sauna.
It is. It's a sweat box.
Honest to God, those working conditions are unbelievable. I am literally sweating.
It's bad. It's bad. But you know what? We got a new building coming up. Right. Unfortunately, no parking.
Joey,
pregame show, Joe Spinelli. Joe Shasky joining me now for the Crossover. No, you're good. You're good. I was like, I got to be professional. I got to bring us back here. We've been talking A's. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 2-1 yesterday. 7-game winning streak. They had the reverse boycott. 27,000 showed out. And we were getting into a conversation because Sam Lubman, producer extraordinaire, host Garlic Fries Baseball Guys, he was talking with Joe Shasky, just about the atmosphere and 27,000, and it was a lot for them. And I kind of came in halfway through the argument you guys were getting into, so why don't you discuss what you guys were talking about and bring it on air.
Yeah, this was my point. And number one, let's start with here, the knowns. Dude, A's fans have been kicked in the nuts for 30 years. They're so loyal. Like, no one is ripping A's fans. You should not be. You should be ripping ownership. That's number one. Number two, I saw it, okay, do you watch the, like, the multiverse or alternate universe type shows? You ever seen something like, hey, this is what happened in an alternate universe if the USSR won the Cold War?
Oh, yeah.
Like, things like that. So, like, in my mind,
what if or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In my mind, as a Giants fan, I am watching what happened with Evan Giddings out there and Kyle Madsen. These are my friends. These are people that I see every day. You, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and I'm seeing myself, and I'm saying, damn, there's an alternate universe where that's the Giants. And what I was thinking about was this: had the A's built a stadium, and the Giants never did. And the Giants were still at Candlestick, just hypothetically, okay? They're still at Candlestick. I was watching an alternate universe of my Giants leaving. And people can disagree with me, and they can say, Joe, it is sustainable for two teams and blah, 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 blah. There is a die-hard core for both fan bases. But I'm not sure in this modern era where money rules everything, I'm not sure if the two teams could survive equally simultaneously. And so what I was saying to Sam was that, like, yes, ownership has sabotaged themselves. I'm talking about the A's. And done specific things to make it more amicable to get the hell out of town. And I get all that. I'm going business. Because business, it sucks. Business is what's ruling sports right now. Every deal that's done is done because of TV dollars. Every deal that's done has been done because of corporate dollars. Not you, Joe. Not you and Benny's money.
No.
And I love you. You know I love you. It's not Joe Shasky's money and my family's money that's swaying these billionaire owners. And so I was watching A's fans, sadly, last night show out like crazy. And to me, I got sad because I saw an alternate universe where that was going to be the Giants. Three different times they tried to move. Tried to move to Toronto in 77 when the A's showed up and took all their fans. They tried to move in the 80s to Santa Clara. They tried to move in the 90s to St. Petersburg. Three separate times they tried to move out of San Francisco, okay? And almost did it. And
well, it was kind of weird that the A's were playing the Rays last night.
Right? After
it was kind of just
that was the Giants.
It was Shakespearean-esque. Like, you just, and the Rays going with what the A's have been going through the last 20 years.
Exactly. And so, like, I'm not here to dump on, what I'm here to say is, I literally believe that if the A's had built the stadium before the Giants, I think the Giants would be doing the exact same thing right now. Whether their ownership maliciously ripped things apart or not, it's gotten to a point now where, like, it just sucks. I just don't see, we have no money in the Bay. Corporations are leaving everywhere. Downtown San Francisco, okay? This isn't an SF Oakland thing. This is a Bay Area thing. Downtown San Francisco is a wasteland. So I'm telling you, if the Giants were still at Candlestick and the A's somehow had built any stadium, I really believe the Giants would be out the door.
It all, and I know you glossed over it, but the ownership is the massive thing to me. Because
absolutely.
I truly believe, and I know you and Bonte talk about it. Hell, you guys are probably going to talk about it on the Morning Roast here in a few minutes. But I truly believe if a guy like a Joe Lacob owned the A's I think he can make it a profitable thing.
With both teams simultaneously?
Yes, absolutely. You don't trust Joe Lacob to do that? I do.
Well, no. Here's what I would say to you. No. I believe one team could thrive. I think the other one will be a, not bottom feeder, but will really have a tough time.
They will still be profitable at the end of the day. And I know you can say, well, the A's technically are still profitable because of, like, check sharing. Cool.
Yeah,
but that's stop.
Complete BS cooking of the books.
Totally.
Getting a welfare check.
Totally. I totally agree. It's just, you know...
Does that trigger you when I made that entire statement?
No.
Do you see where I'm coming from?
I see where you're coming from. I just disagree with it, but that's okay.
Yeah,
like,
that's
Like, because I do look at other markets. I do look at the White Sox, how they are with the Cubs. And now, is that sustainable? We'll see moving forward. But the White Sox have been around for 100-plus years.
Yeah, but the White Sox, like, will always be a bottom feeder.
They will be. But they'll still be there. They'll still be the White Sox. And that's what I'm
saying.
But is
that a good business model?
I don't care. I want my team.
I know.
Like, that's at the end of the day.
But business rules.
But business rules. But also, if they have an owner, they'll at least make them somewhat profitable. John Fisher doesn't care, is the thing. He doesn't invest in the fan base or in the city. Say what you will at the White Sox. Like, sure. Like, they got a new stadium at least. I don't know. Reinsdorf or whatever? He's never really, like, invested in the team. Yeah, they had the World Series team in the early 2000s.
No, they've been a joke.
They've been a joke
for, like, 35 years.
Dude, they've made the playoffs, I think, like, 10 times in the last, like, 100 years. Something ridiculous like that, which is a crazy, crazy stat. But through it all, they've had a loyal fan base. So, like, at the end of the day, it sucks. I know you were talking about with Sam seeing only 27,000 there, being the quote-unquote diehard, stuff like that. And I would say not only 27,000. I think there are some factors into it. I just don't think Tampa's a draw, even though
I agree.
They're the best team in baseball. It's a Tuesday night. If it was on a Friday night, they'd probably sell out. But I get it. The reverse boycott thing, it was more word of mouth till late. Like, it was more seeing it on social.
Joe, I think you walked in the middle of the conversation.
I did. Sorry.
So what I was saying was this. What sucks to me. No, only 27,000. That's not what I was saying. What I was saying was, knowing Fisher and knowing how crooked baseball is, you know what they're going to say? Huh. They only got 20. This is what I'm saying, baseball saying, which I don't think is fair. They only got 27,000 on a Tuesday. Oh, they rallied the troops. See, this is why we can't financially stay here. And to me, that's a false connection.
Yes. No, totally. Okay. So
that's what I was saying.
Okay. So I totally did jump in.
My bad.
No. You're good. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Because, do you get what I'm saying?
No, because
Fisher will use any BS argument to get the hell out of
Dodge.
Well,
that's the major league. That's literally what the storyline of major league. And that's what they're doing. Like, see? Like, it didn't happen. Oh, we have all these fans. Oh, no, we don't. So it's like, it's pretty whack, this whole situation.
But
I just wanted to shout out everyone that did it go yesterday. Sam Lubman, Evan Giddings, you mentioned Kyle Madsen. All the A's fans going out yesterday, just rocking this shirt, doing their chants, stuff like that. The team felt it. Like, at the end of the day.
Did you see the catcher?
Did you see Langoliers throwing out? Like, it was just, what was he crying?
When the pitchcom thing broke.
Oh, Hogan Harris. They couldn't hear.
He was smirking because of all of the crowd going crazy. And I looked into his soul.
It was cool.
Right there. And again, I don't pretend to watch as much A's baseball as you.
But I haven't watched a lot this year. I'm going to be honest because it's been tough.
I think I saw a guy go, this is. Because honestly, if you're him, you've got to go to all these other stadiums and you got to be like, these are below Major League Baseball standards. Like, these are below AAA standards.
Oh, yeah. He comes from the Braves organization, Shea Langeliers. All these guys come from, like, high. Like, a lot of them come from the Braves.
It's
like,
a joke.
And that's, like, going from A to F. Like, that's just what it is. We're grading it. But that's what it is. It is a joke.
But here's the problem that I have with the whole thing. Not this is, again, nothing is with A's fans. It's with the way sports is trending. Part of why the Warriors are as good as what they are is because of the business aspect. I acknowledge that. They would not be able to financially pay for luxury tax and keep all the players that we love if they didn't have the business intact. So the business intact does help the product on the field. Now, does it make you, you know, an automatic contender? No. Right now, there are two teams, the Padres and the Mets, in baseball that have thrown a ton of money, and quite frankly, they stink.
Yeah.
But it sure helps.
No, it does. Well, it just shows that you care about your fans, too. Oh, at the end of the day, like, throwing money, it's because you want to invest in the team. You want a winning product. And give me an owner that wants to win any day of the week, even if they don't have the money. I think Steiny was talking about it yesterday. It was Chris Cohen. He wanted to win. Like, he tried to. He just didn't spend as much as others. But at the end of the day, you got to spend in this league. And that's in baseball specifically. And, yeah, you have the Rays. You have Moneyball.
Yes.
But that's not going to win a title.
No.
Well, it never does.
But hear me out. Like, I love sports for a variety of reasons. And one of them, a big one, is the civic pride, the communal pride. And to me, what's getting blurred in this modern era of, you know, I stand for LeBron no matter where he goes.
Oh,
I just can't relate to that.
No.
I am about my team from my community and my familial ties to them over generations. And what has gotten blurred over the years is because of the business overriding everything, the fan doesn't matter.
No, because they promoted these players and now you have fans that are fans of just individual players. You mentioned him, LeBron, Kobe, and maybe it started Michael Jordan. And maybe that's a specific NBA thing or a basketball thing, but you're seeing it. Like, People aren't fans of teams like they used to be.
I know.
They're fans of players. Well,
and the owners.
I'm a Shohei fan. Yes. That's the one you're going to start saying. Yes. I'm a Shohei.
Well, I see kids yesterday wearing that t-shirt at practice.
There you go.
And I go, are you an Angel fan? No, I'm a Shohei fan.
I'm a Shohei fan. So wherever he goes, if he goes if he goes to the Dodgers, if he goes to the Yankees, like, oh yeah, I'm a Shohei fan. I'm going to follow wherever he goes. So like, there is that aspect to it. But at the end of the day, you're right. Baseball, more than any other sport, at its heart, is America's pastime. There is something I believe as Americans. There is something ingrained as us. Yes. If you are a sports fan, I'm not saying everyone, but if you're a sports fan and you are American, there is something ingrained in us that we just love this sport. And I know NFL's king, yeah, and it's going to dominate for a long, long time. But there's nothing like baseball, man.
I know.
There's just, at the end of the day, I know I'm preaching to the choir for you.
No.
And maybe it's just lost. Maybe I'm a hopeless romantic when it comes to these things. But man, just seeing what I saw yesterday, it was special. It's probably not going to be like that again, maybe, if they do it, I don't know, the last hurrah, if you will. Sure looks like they are going to Vegas. But for one night, Joe, it was pretty freaking cool. And they beat the best team in the baseball. They won 7 in a row. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it just
it sucks. It sucks, I know, but
it's
you know
a bitter
what?
Pill to swallow.
And I think a lot of A's fans have already come to that realization. There was a lot of anger from a lot of them that maybe didn't last night, but I've already come to the realization a long time ago. They're probably gone. It is what it is. I just enjoyed myself watching it on the television on the couch last night. That's Joe Shasky. I'm going to enjoy the morning roast in that hot studio coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.